Welcome to Speculative Sandbox, your audio playground for creative storytellers. We're currently batch recording our upcoming episodes, so I've asked some friends to take care of the podcast in a limited author takeover series. You'll recognize them as former guests on the show, so you'll be in good hands. I look forward to chatting again soon.
Hello, Speculative Sandboxers. This is Marshila Rockwell. You might remember me from episode 6, where Vicky and I talked about dark triad personalities. Psychopaths and witches are kind of my jam, which you can see from a lot of the stuff that I write about. My husband and I, Jeff Marriott, and I wrote a book called Seven Psychos, which is all about psychopaths versus zombies and is set entirely in the Phoenix area. So that one was kind of fun. My latest book that's out right now is called Sisters of Sorcery. It's a Marvel book and features Clea, Agatha Harkness, although not the Agatha Harkness from WandaVision, the one from the comics. Also, Elizabeth Tuyoungman, better known as Talisman from Alpha Flight, and Margoli Zardos, and a few other people make cameo appearances. But obviously that's the witches part of my jam. And I am currently working on another book for Marvel. This is hopefully going to be the first book in a new line of theirs based on the Marvel Zombies comic books. And my book is going to be called Marvel Zombies: The Hunger. And it's going to feature Zelma Stanton, who is, for those of you who aren't like super hardcore Marvel Comics nerds, you probably still know who Doctor Strange is. Zelma is Doctor Strange's librarian and apprentice, so she's a witch, check mark. She will be teaming up with Nico Minoru, who is also a witch. Elsa Bloodstone, who is a monster hunter extraordinaire, and everybody's favorite merc with the mouth, Deadpool. So that's been a lot of fun to write. I'm actually still working on it, but you can look for that in your local bookstores in August of this year, 2023. Those last two books that I mentioned are what we call media tie-in books, and that's actually what I'm going to talk about today. In episode 12, Vicky and Matthew Brown talked about shared universes, and that's kind of is related to tie-in fiction. They are shared universes in that multiple people write in them, but their episode sort of focused more on the subject from a reader slash viewer perspective, and I'm going to give you the writer perspective. So one of the things that I have often heard as a tie-in writer is that, oh, you're getting paid to write fan fiction. So right off the bat, I want to define tie-in fiction. Tie-in means that it ties in, I did air quotes, I know you can't see that, to an existing property, whether that be comic books like my Marvel books that I'm writing, a movie property, a television show, even other books. But the point is it ties into an existing intellectual property, and the writer does not own that property. So everything that's done as tie-in fiction is what we call work for hire. So when you write tie-in fiction, you don't own the copyright to the characters that you are writing about. So obviously I wouldn't own the copyright to Deadpool or any of those characters. But if I created some minor character in the book and just a side character with no powers, but they were funny or whatever, somebody everybody loves to hate, whatever, it wouldn't matter who or what that character was, it wouldn't belong to me. I couldn't then take that character out of the Marvel books and use it in my own creations. That character would no longer belong to me. It would never have belonged to me because the copyright to those books belongs to Marvel, the IP holder, the intellectual property holder. So the difference between tie-in fiction and fan fiction is that tie-in fiction is authorized by the intellectual property owner, and tie-in fiction writers get paid for what they do by the IP holder, as opposed to fan fiction, where people are writing it solely for the love of it, the love of the property. They aren't usually approved by the IP holder. I know that's not true in every case, but in the majority of cases, and they don't get paid for writing it. So that's the big difference between tie-in fiction and fan fiction. So the other thing that I hear a lot is that tie-in fiction is derivative and only hacks write it. It's for people who can't write their own original work. And, you know, all of that is BS. I will tell you, Kevin J. Anderson, who writes his fair share of tie-in fiction and also his own original fiction and is a very well-known and respected writer in the science fiction fantasy genre, has said that, you know, back in the day in the 70s, that novelizations and tie-in books were often very bad, and they were written under pen names for a quick buck. And that was just the way the business used to be back then. But that was back then. Nowadays, you have Hugo and Nebula winning authors who are writing tie-in fiction. You have people like Vonda McIntyre and Greg Bear, and more recently, Rebecca Roanhorse wrote a Star Wars book, and she's written some of the Marvel comic book characters, the indigenous characters, and you see that a lot, because writers are fans of these properties too, and they jump at the chance to be able to write about characters that they love in worlds that they love. Just because they are a New York Times bestselling author doesn't mean that they aren't still fans of things. So the point is that if you have a New York Times bestselling author writing tie-in fiction, to me that says that the quality of fiction that you're getting in tie-in fiction is just as good as any original fiction that you'll find out there. Also, keep in mind that these are multi-million dollar franchises that we're talking about. Star Wars, Marvel. They're not just going to pay, you know, any old hack off the street to write stories set in their universes and then put their stamp of approval on it. They're going to vet you and make sure that you actually know how to write a good story. So if you're one of those people who avoids tie-in fiction because you think it's probably not going to be very good. I would like to assure you that that is not the case, that the people writing tie-in fiction today are top-notch authors, and they will. I mean, obviously, I haven't read every tie-in book out there, so I could be wrong, but I do know a lot of tie-in authors. We have a professional organization, and I will tell you that, you know, there are a lot of very good writers writing tie-in fiction. So please don't let the fact that it's tie-in fiction keep you from picking up a book that otherwise looks interesting to you, or that is in a franchise that you are a fan of, because I think you will be pleasantly surprised. The other thing that I do want to mention is that there is sort of this fallacy that writing tie-in fiction is somehow easier than writing original fiction because you already have the world built for you. You already have the characters. In some cases, you already have the plot line given to you. But I'm here to tell you that a lot of times that actually makes it much more difficult to write. You have to, especially if it's a more popular franchise, you have to make sure that you nail character depictions, because if you don't, there are tons of fans out there who are going to let you know that you got it wrong. And you also have to play by rules that other people wrote. So you can't do certain things that you might be able to do if you were writing original fiction. And the number one rule of tie-in fiction is that unless you are given explicit permission to do otherwise, you have to, whatever characters or situation you take off the shelf, there's those air quotes again, and you play with in the tie-in sandbox, you have to put it back on the shelf at the end of your story, and it cannot be harmed in any permanent way. So basically that means things like you can't kill off a character unless you resurrect them in that same book or, you know, whatever comic or whatever it is that you might be writing. Or there are plans that the IP holder has approved for them to be resurrected somewhere down the line. Or, in other words, you have permission to kill off that character in that book that you're writing. So you have to play by somebody else's rules, and that can be really hard because people who write do it because they are they're creative. They like to create things and they don't like to be told what to do. So it can be a lot more difficult to write tie-in fiction because you have a lot more constraints than you do in original fiction. The other thing that makes it a lot harder, in my opinion, the tie-in properties that I have written for have almost always been properties with really large fan bases. So I have written tie-in fiction for Dungeons and Dragons. I have written X-Files, a little bit of Buffy. I've written some Xena stuff that has not yet gotten published because of licensing limbo. Let's call it that. And obviously my latest book is a Marvel book, and the one I'm writing right now is a Marvel book. So there are fans out there who know the material far better than I ever will. And if I make a mistake, they're gonna let me know about it. I don't have that problem if I'm writing my own original stuff, because nobody else knows that property better than I do, because I created it. So I don't have to worry about making people mad because I made a character act in a way that that character just wouldn't act in, or something along those lines. So it's great to have a built-in fan base, but it's also hard to have a built-in fan base because it comes with built-in critics. That fan base can also be a huge resource, though. I know that when I was writing my Dungeons and Dragons books, I would often talk to people within the community, especially the Dungeons and Dragons online books that I wrote, the Shard Axe and Skein of Shadows. Those were written based on DDO, Dungeons and Dragons Online, and that is a multiplayer game, but I never played with other people. I did play the game, but I always soloed everything, so there were places that I couldn't go, quests that I couldn't do, because you needed more than one player to do them. So I was able to talk to people in the DDO community and get them to, like, if they did that quest that I couldn't do, to take screenshots for me of what the dialogue was and, you know, what certain interiors look like, so that I could use those places in my book. So that was a case where having a built-in fan base was a huge help. So as with everything, there are pros and cons. I would just like to say that I myself really enjoy writing fan fiction. I do, or fan fiction, oh my goodness, tie-in fiction. I said that because I have notes down here and I just glanced at the one that says this is not paid fan fiction, and so that's why I said it. But anyway, I really enjoy writing tie-in fiction, even though it's got some constraints that make it harder, in my opinion, to write than original fiction, because, and I will tell you, this is probably why every other person out there who's writing tie-in fiction does it, because I love the properties that I'm getting to write in. I started playing Dungeons and Dragons when I was in third grade, and I always wanted to be a writer, but my aspiration was never to write the great American novel. It was to write D&D books. So when I got the opportunity to do that, I was over the moon. You know, I was just thrilled because I loved the property. When I got the opportunity to write witches, Marvel witches, I mean, amazing. Now I have the opportunity to write zombies in the Marvel Universe when, you know, I've already written psychopaths versus zombies in my own original work with my husband, bringing a more horror feel to the books in the Marvel line, which I usually write things that are darker, and I write a lot of short stories and poetry that are dark fantasy and horror, so to be able to bring that sensibility to, you know, this property that I love, I mean, it's amazing, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be able to play in these sandboxes. And I hope that you all have a wonderful, successful, and prosperous, healthy, happy 2023. Thanks for listening to me ramble. And thanks to Vicky for letting me fill in for her. And I'm sure she'll be back soon with lots of really fun new episodes on Speculative Sandbox, so don't miss out. Bye.
Speculative Sandbox is a volunteer-run podcast that relies on the collaboration of fellow creators like you. Join the conversation and participate in fun polls and questionnaires on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. interested in being in a future episode, our DMs are open, or you can email speculativesandbox@gmail.com.